When America was founded, the framers had, for the most part, a biblical worldview. Just a few examples. Our rights come from God. Because of God, power rests in the consent of the governed. Man is sinful. Therefore, we must have separation of powers. Those are just a few examples. But today, even many professing Christians, in effect, lack a cohesive biblical worldview. The ministry Christians Engaged writes, quote, "Today we're facing a constant battle of ideas, especially over the basic questions of life. The answers to these questions make up our worldview, and they impact every area of our lives and every decision we will ever make. Our worldviews ultimately impact our whole society, either guiding it to safety or dashing it against the rocks. Tragically, our culture has embraced false beliefs that lead to hopelessness, violence, and death." End quote. Christians Engaged has now created biblical worldview curriculum. Ben Quine is one of the co-authors of this new curriculum, and he joins us now. I'm Dr. Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. And Ben, it's great to have you back on the program. Thank you so much for all you do, and it's great to talk to you again.
Absolutely. Thank you, Jerry. Honored to be here.
Sure. Okay, so give us an overview of this new biblical worldview curriculum.
Yes, this is now our third course in our Biblical Worldview series. Christian Engaged has created a whole library of video courses, on-demand courses for Christians and churches across America. And in this course, it's 8 videos that feature PDF Bible study notes you can do individual and as a group, and then videos to watch, lecture on scripture, teaching the Bible's answers to basic questions of our worldview. And then we have incredible guest interviews after the lecture on each video course, providing really more insight and personal application, again, with discussion questions. So great course for individuals or small Bible studies, churches, anyone who wants to strengthen their biblical worldview and learn what God says about how to live.
If somebody were to watch the whole thing from the beginning to the end, how many hours is it approximately?
It's about 8 hours.
Oh, wow. Okay, and is this available online, or is this something where, I know in the old days people would, maybe they would sell these kind of things as a set or package or something for churches and so forth, but I think those days are gone to some degree.
Well, we do make it available on our website, christianengaged.org. So christianengaged.org/classes, you can see all our classes there. And we also have a special partnership for churches across the country where they can use all our classes for free in their small groups. And that's a really wonderful program as well.
Oh, so this material is available and it's free. So somebody, obviously, whoever, funded Christians Engaged has made it available. So it's you don't have to pay for it, and then you could still learn all this great information. Is that right?
That's right. So for individuals, there's a charge, and then if a church wants to, like I said, become a partner with us, there's no charge for the partnership. Just have a pastor or a staff member reach out to our organization, and we'd be thrilled to connect you all and get the classes for free.
Huh. Okay. So you said that there's about 8 hours. So let's go ahead and take maybe 4 or 5 of the key issues that you deal with. For example, I think maybe the average listener to this program already has a bit of a Christian worldview. So beyond the introduction of the need for a worldview, what's your next talking point?
Yeah, absolutely. So the first thing is we have to understand that, like Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. And basically God's word puts it very bluntly that the way that naturally seems right to sinful people, that's going to lead to death. And of course we can see that in our culture all around us. There's a way of salvation that seems right to us, but there's also a way of justice or gender, family, sexuality, all these issues. The human kind of natural human response, or kind of the smartest human ideas often lead us right to death. And so we really need a biblical worldview. If we want to have a good life, 1 Peter 3:10 says, if we want to have a good life, we need to live according to God's principles. So the first foundational point really is there a God? If so, what is he like? And, much of our culture's problems come from rejecting God and the fact that, like you said, we've removed him from our public square. and we've rejected the biblical principles that our country was founded on. So we have to have a foundational understanding that there is a God, that there is one true living God, that he's a Trinity, he's eternal, omniscient, omnipresent, and that he really wants a relationship with each one of us. So as the Creator, he deserves our worship, and he deserves our submission. So we really start there. You have to start there as the foundation for all rest of our thinking has to flow from that point.
Would it be fair to say that sometimes a lot of the bad ideas, you know, in society ultimately gets back to bad theology? It's kind of like you lack the understanding of what God's Word says about all the basics of life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's totally true. So, for instance, if we look at question like what is the origin and nature of the universe, or what's the basis of right and wrong? These are profoundly theological questions. They're profound scriptural questions, and they're profound social questions, because whatever your answer is to those questions are going to have huge impacts on how we act as individuals and how we act as a society. Just as a quick example, you know, the first chapters of Genesis teach us many important things. They explain who we are. They talk about how God created the universe. They give us kind of direction and meaning for our lives. But they also present an account of creation that's totally incompatible with the theory of evolution. If you look at the order of creation, that God created by region and by category, not from simple to complex. If you look at the time, as recorded in Genesis, it says God created in 6 days, not millions of years. We can see that death only occurred after the fall, and not that it was not this process of millions of years of death leading to evolutionary process and progress. So on and on, all these evidences for God as creator, that's incompatible with Darwinism. And that's really important because, mm-hmm. you know, much of our culture has embraced Darwinism. We're teaching it in our schools, and yet evolution can never give answers. You know, it can't give meaning in life. It can't explain the patterns that we have in our universe. It's a cause of really terrible isolation, despair, immorality we have. If there's no God, then there's no meaning to life. It's all just, we're all just here by accident, and life is hopeless. And that's a terrible, terrible way to live, terrible consequences for a society. And even to top it all off, Darwinism actually promotes racism, because it says that when the stronger races, those aren't my words, that's Darwin's words, his book is called On the Origin of Species by Means of Natural Selection, or the Preservation of Favored Races in the Struggle for Life. So it says that when stronger races oppress and destroy the weaker ones, that's simply evolution moving forward. That's biblically, we understand that's a very evil philosophy, but according to evolutionary theory, it says just that's natural selection at work.
That is a great point. In fact, in some programs that we've made at Coral Ridge Ministries through the years, you know, one of them that strikes me very much is called Darwin's Deadly Legacy. We have a whole section in there about the Holocaust, and a lot of people don't like to hear this, but this is true, that the whole notion of what the Nazis did and Hitler and so forth is to essentially create the master race. And so they tried to wean out from society, and doing so by killing people, they killed those that they deemed to be, you know, not as evolved as others, so that it would essentially create the master race. So they ended up killing 6 million Jews, hundreds of thousands of gypsies, hundreds of thousands of Slavs, and then, of course, all kinds of Christians that were objecting to this terrible killing. So ideas really do have consequences.
They really do. And Darwin really was trying to live out those philosophies that he got from Darwin that he believed strongly in. And we can see that also in people like Margaret Sanger and her eugenics-based friends that were trying to do the same thing. And we see that in Planned Parenthood and across our culture today, tragically.
I think one of the areas, too, where God is a key factor to everything is a very simple point. Are we going to be accountable when we die for our actions? And the answer, according to the Bible, is of course we will be. We will be held accountable, you know, by God. Those who live in such a way that they don't act as if they're ever going to be accountable to God will be in for a very rude and interrupting, you know, or awakening. So a bottom line is, you know, our accountability to God, that's a key point to how should we then live.
It's such a key point. This is salvation. And it's really a matter of life and death. You know, if we're not following God's prescription for salvation, you know, the Bible says we're lost, we're dead in our transgressions and sins, and we're under wrath. So, you know, that's why sharing the gospel is one of the most loving things we can do with our friends and neighbors and our culture. And I'd like to take it a step further and say that as a Christian, we understand that it's salvation doesn't stop at our justification. It doesn't stop when we're declared righteous, when we're born again. That's, praise the Lord, it's the most important thing. But there's a next step. It says that we're also called not to conform to this world, but to offer our bodies as living sacrifices so that we could be transformed by the renewing of our mind. In other words, God wants to take his children and, you know, make us into whole new creations who live differently and who actually live out lives that bring praise and glory to him. And that's the sanctification part of salvation. And, you know, it's so important that Christians live this way. And then quickly, the third thing to say is that our culture believes, this is a huge point for our culture, is that we have this basic rejection of God and his truth. And that leads us to this idea that every person gets to decide what is right and wrong for themselves. And that is another point that has had huge and disastrous consequences for our children, for our culture, for justice in our society. And of course, the Bible teaches that there are, in fact, things that are truly right and things that are truly wrong. It calls those things that are right good or upright, pure righteousness, but it calls things that are wrong sin or evil or wickedness. And God's given us his commands to protect us because he loves us. And that's why he tells us to not do those evil things. And it's amazing because if you study his word, we see that God's laws match his character, that God never lies. That's where we're constructed never to lie. He's always just. That's why we're told to follow justice, and on and on and on. So God's character is that foundation for healthy society, that foundation for right and wrong. And, you know, when a culture follows God's principles, God's basis of right and wrong, that's when true justice and, you know, life and prosperity come. But tragically, when we embrace and have each one, like what happens in the book of Judges, is that every man did what was right in his own eyes. That's when we see oppression and death and slavery and genocide and horrible, horrible consequences. So again, the biblical worldview gives us that foundation to bring healthy, healthy relationships to society. It's so important.
All right, we only have about a minute and 40 seconds left. So why don't you, in the time remaining, just give us an overview of other lessons in this whole biblical worldview curriculum?
Absolutely. So we cover 7 key points. Is there a God? If so, what is he like? What's the origin nature of the universe? Talking about, again, creation, evolution. What is the nature of humanity? We deal with sin and salvation. What is the basis of right and wrong? We just covered that a little bit. What is the cause of evil and suffering? Like, we all ask, why is this happening to me? Why is there so much evil and pain in the world? What happens to a person at death? And does life and history have any real meaning? How can we know that our lives are really making an impact and are being, you know, used correctly and valuably? And then we have the final class is the application for America, where we talk about the different worldviews that we face and kind of the consequences quickly of some of them, and how we know that God's word teaches the truth and how we can apply that specifically to areas in our country, education and government.
Is there anything there in terms of the origins, the Christian origins of America, or at least, you know, biblical ideas that helped create the nation?
We don't focus on that too much in this class. We do cover that much more in our biblical justice course.
Oh, okay. I was just curious. Okay.
Yeah,
so we're almost out of time.
Videos on that as well, Jerry.
Yeah, we're almost out of time. So, what else do you want to say about this in 15 seconds? The whole curriculum.
Well, just that if we need to base our lives on God's word. God's word has the answers for life, and this is vitally important for our culture. Everyone needs a biblical worldview, so check it out at ChristiansEngaged.org.
All right. Thank you very much, Ben. I appreciate that, and you guys do great work. Ben Quine, Quine, ChristiansEngaged.org. Thanks, Ben. All the best.
Thanks so much, Jay.